And good morning, Northern New Mexico. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. No, I'm not. I'm Dal Dierman. She's still away and will be for a little while yet. Coming up this hour, times are tough, yes, despite the best efforts of a very hands-on administration in Washington and lots of other helpers. On the grassroots level, everybody's taking a good long breath before betting the farm on anything. As most of us know, Santa Fe sparkles with worthy causes. More nonprofit organizations reside here than anywhere else I know. So what to do in these perilous times to secure the very real needs and hopes and dreams of our friends that make Santa Fe's quality of life so dependably real? Well, with us this morning, Diane Karp. Not only is Diane Executive Director of the Santa Fe Art Institute, an organization that regularly brings a remarkable set-us-all-on-our-ear perspective to the community, with her, Michelle LaFlamme-Childs, a Facebook friend of mine, who we just found out this morning. Diane also is willing to talk, as am I, as general manager of the public radio station you're listening to, about what needs to be done to preserve a certain quality of life in these difficult times. It's about creativity, making lemonade from lemons. Well, we'll see in just a minute. Then later this hour, let's investigate what's going on that beautiful grassy hill just below Wilderness Gate. St. John's College is, of course, by all accounts, a remarkable institution. But what are they doing up there? What are they doing for us? We'll talk with Anna Sachoke about St. John's and Santa Fe. Anna's here. How's that fit working out between a college committed to the classics and a city committed to, well, its own special brand of free thinking? Thanks for making us part of your morning, and welcome Diane and Michelle.
Good morning, Dal.
Good morning, Northern New Mexico. Both here. And I'm thrilled that you're here at all, since you were up pretty late last night, weren't you?
Yes, we were.
Tell us about Laurie Anderson.
Well, last night, Laurie Anderson did a concert as a fundraiser for the Santa Fe Art Institute, and she is one of the most extraordinary contemporary musicians, performing artists, visual artists, and had people riveted for almost 2 hours.
Wow.
So it was a phenomenal night. And to make it even more fun, today at 11 o'clock at the Lensic, she's going to be doing a general conversation and public talk.
Yeah, that's right. And are there still tickets available for that?
There are indeed, and they're very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. So that anyone who wants to ask questions, listen to her, think out loud. She's one of the most interesting contemporary cultural figures at this point. She's very easygoing, very thoughtful, and she's got a voice that could literally transform the world.
Wow. So those who haven't had a chance to learn more about Laurie Anderson can do it this morning.
Yeah.
It ain't too late. 11
nope.
o'clock at...
At the Lensic.
At the Lensic.
And we are very grateful to the Lensic, who have been our partners in this one. They've really been amazingly supportive, as they always are.
To many of us here in the community. KSFR is certainly grateful as well.
Yeah.
Let's begin with creativity in tough times, Diane. It certainly is... thinking globally about this, it certainly is something that concerns every nonprofit in town these days, whether they think about it in those terms or not. It concerns you. It concerns me. What are we going to do about this this life we're living at the moment?
Well, I mean, I sent you a copy of that fabulous article by Jeff Chang, and what he basically talks about is that when times are really tough, creativity, and I'm quoting him, becomes the glue of social cohesion in times of turmoil. And it's the attitude we've always taken at the Art Institute. We truly believe that allowing people to be creative, to think independently, to find their own particular place in the world where life makes sense and they make interesting stuff out of what makes sense to them, is a way of supporting sort of open democracy and real community.
Which is interesting because it is, particularly as you describe it, or as he describes it, it's a lot bigger than what a lot of people would think the traditional definition of what you do is. Art, you know, and art for social change, art for sort of rejiggering lives.
When we first began, obviously the economy was in great shape. And what we thought at the time was the important role of the arts, all the creative arts, writers and poets and dancers and musicians. And obviously Laurie sort of joins all of those, that remarkable young woman. that the role of the arts was sort of to be the opposition voice, the voice of diversity, how people think. The whole year of programming this year focused on memory is really a way of countering traditional history, you know, the singular story that tells everything you need to know. And we've all learned over the years that you need to hear a diversity of voices that express personal experiences of those events and those times. And the arts have always played that role. Mm. They've allowed us to hear things that the mainstream didn't want us to know or didn't think was important. Not, you know, I'm not making it a sort of always negative, always destructive.
It's not always a conspiracy.
It's not a conspiracy.
Just sometimes.
It's just simplifying things, you know, mm-hmm. making it easier to manage. But artists are rarely simplifiable. And so they're the ones who said, yeah, that's a story. However, this is another piece. This is another view. But when – and as a result, they've always been good at doing things ad hoc, you know, by the seat of their pants, pulling things together and just making them happen. So you don't have to be rich and powerful to make art. Everybody has this creative energy inside of them. And what we're, as an institution, always driving for is to privilege that voice, that creative, thoughtful take on the world.
Well, and that, of course, is a great attitude in these times, and one that unless you're you, or unless you're among the people who surround you, a lot of people are kind of depressed. So, and what do you what do you say about that? Well, there are, as you point out, good things that can come from very little resource, really. It's about what's inside. You know, I don't want to be too
touchy-feely.
Touchy-feely, not me. Oh my God. Making more with less.
Well, making more with almost nothing. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things that we always learn is you look back through history, and what you see is the residuals. The residuals are the cultural activities, the paintings on the wall, the rock art, the objects that are made, you know, all the way down to those people that we think are sort of oddballs, uh-huh. like the sort of crazy man out in West LA that just started making stuff in his yard. And now we look back on it, and the Watts Towers are a miracle. They are a statement of human soul and spirit and energy and creativity in probably the bleakest place in the bleakest time. And it's a way of reminding ourselves, you know what? You can really make a difference.
A lasting difference.
A lasting difference.
And a lasting difference in a way that is that doesn't involve traditional business, doesn't mm-hmm. involve – yeah, all the other things that people may be focused on when the stock market's fallen to hell and people are losing their jobs, you know, which certainly there's no happy side to that.
No.
But a lot of the artifacts of human life, really, the ones that really are noticeable, are cherishable, come from this one place, come from art.
Well, Michelle can talk to the issue of writers as well. You know, storytelling is the way of rounding out and filling out what we know as that single line of history.
Michelle, good morning.
Good morning.
And I didn't mention your title, so I wish you would now.
Residency director, primarily.
Great.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
Thank you. You too.
And?
Yeah, Diane's absolutely right. And especially when times, I mean, myself as a writer, and of course we have writers in the residency program as well, some of the most interesting work comes out of times of struggle. And that results from a need to express when things get difficult. There's this, if there's a creative bone in one's body when times are difficult or there's an emotional struggle, there's this welling up and a necessary need to express. And I think everybody has that need. So it is times like these kinds of times that generate some of the most interesting work. And Diane has talked about in the past, so I'm only parroting her, but the fact that art, some of the major art movements almost always precede major sociopolitical movements. And it's really interesting to see that trend over history and look at the way that art either predicts or initiates big social change in the world.
Hmm. What kinds of things, from your perspective, dealing with writers, and I know you all at the Art Institute do a lot of workshops and I can't think of the word now, Diane, but the residency programs.
Residency.
That's a tough word to remember, isn't it? Residency.
Well, residency program. Yeah.
I'll try to. Yeah.
We bring artists and writers and creative people from all over the world, mm-hmm. and they all live and work together. And Michelle is sort of their guide and den mother.
And I wanted to ask Michelle what kinds of things have bubbled this year and are.
Well, they are the folks that come as part of the residency program are separate from the visiting artist program that Diane was talking about that centers around a theme. So the visual artists and writers and choreographers and musicians and all those folks that come as part of the residency program are usually working on their own individual projects that they've been working on or something that has inspired them. Often actually in the Santa Fe landscape, people who want to come to the residency will often have projects they want to do that are relative to or related to Santa Fe, either the architecture, the environmental landscape, the social political landscape, the cultural issues that are in our city. So the kind of work that they do varies. I mean, it's all over the map, and it's fascinating. And one of the most interesting parts of it for me, actually, especially now, I wasn't always involved with the residency program so directly, is seeing how their work influences each other. So when you get this community of artists together, all different mediums, and over, especially if you have a group of them that stay for the full length of our period, which is 3 months, you can see their work influencing each other and how they impact each other.
Sorry. How does that work? I mean, there's a lot of interaction between them?
Yeah, the studio spaces are semi-private. So, and they're living, they have individual living quarters, so they live alone and have their own private bathrooms and whatnot. But there's a public community areas, so they have their eating spaces and their lounging spaces and their studio spaces are more communal. And they tend to bond and spend a lot of time together and plan outings. And then the Art Institute obviously has a lot of events to which they're also invited. So they tend to do those as groups. And oftentimes, most oftentimes, they really do form a group and they interact a lot, and it's very interesting.
And an example is you and I were talking as I came in this morning about the horrific reports that are coming out of Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
We have a brilliant young writer who is Zimbabwean. And, these are places in the world that oftentimes, you know, when I was a child, my father used to say that an enemy is someone whose story you don't know. And that idea of communicating who we are through the arts, because the arts are – it's not a white paper. It's not a big journalistic effort. It's something that's personal and creative, and it's usually not threatening. And it becomes a bridge between powerful opposing forces, opposing ideologies, difficult situations, and it makes these places in the world something you can relate to. You know,
that I think is a particularly important point, because lots of people make generalizations about other people who aren't like them, and the most successful that I know of, and you're talking about it here, way to break through that sort of stereotyping of other groups is one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, you can. I know people who say, I don't trust X or whatever, but have a wonderful, warm human relationship with an individual from X.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we just multiply that a few million times,
exactly,
we'd see some movement.
Exactly, and you know, one of the things that governments should do more of, we see it happening certainly. There's been a cultural exchange with Cuba for a very long time.
Mm.
And here we are, we're trying to open our relations with Cuba, or at least the Obama administration is trying to break down some of the embargoes. And the cultural connections are powerfully strong. I mean, you listen to the radio, you open a list of writers. We have human connections to be creative that are – it's not that they are global. It's that now we have this marvelous access to them through global systems. But the local quality, the individual quality is still the most powerful communicator.
But, you know, you talk about the grassroots. You talk about something like the issue of Cuba, where the resistance to to free exchange between our two countries hasn't been from the bottom.
Of course not.
And one of the things I think that, you know, however you feel about the details of the administration's policies, this administration is doing, is saying things and offering opportunities which you either can take advantage of or not, depending on who we're talking about, to change things. And I think that aside, change really does, is welcomed from, you know, the grassroots, is welcomed from the people, as opposed to politicians normally who have their interest groups, and some of them are louder than others, and they aren't necessarily proportionate to their overall size, the overall size of the group. So I think Cuba is a very interesting example of where the difference can be made. And I think about Mary Charlotte when and she's been to Cuba several times. For her, it is about the culture, certainly, but it's also about the music, which she loves so much.
And, part of the culture.
Yeah. Well,
an essential part of the culture.
You're right. And when she comes back and talks about her experiences, they aren't political experiences per se. I mean, they aren't – there are none of the issues that, that have separated the island of Cuba from the U.S. are part of her experience at all, really. It's about people. It's about individuals, and it's about you know, a shared experience.
Well, one of the things that's interesting, last Monday we had a wonderful evening. We had an evening of bachata, and we screened a wonderful young – wonderful film by a young filmmaker about an up-and-coming young bachatero. And it was funny because Sunday in the New York Times there was a big article about the bachateros in the Bronx.
Wow.
And bachata is a dance and music.
I was hoping you'd come around
dance,
and say what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I'm getting around to it. Dance and music form that comes from the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. But bachata was a kind of pejorative. Mm-hmm. Merengue is the music and dance of the Dominican Republic. And the general public, the people, the common folk out in the campos began to sort of play with merengue and speed it up and change the rhythms, and they developed a new musical form that was theirs, grassroots. And it's part of who they are. It's part of the rhythm of their life. It keeps them centered. It keeps them from getting completely undone by the difficulties of what it means to live as a poor person in the Dominican Republic, even after Trujillo, still. And the name bachata was a pejorative because it was like common music.
Yeah.
It was a backyard, you know, mess, dirt. And bachata is spreading around the world and taking over just as salsa did out of Harlem. These cultural connections, these cultural sort of bubblings that allow people to just get creative can change the world. And they do. So the idea is when you're feeling like crap and, you know, your stock market's looking terrible and you've lost your job and you don't know how you're going to get by, I think that there is something remarkably palliative about getting down and doing something that makes you feel a little bit better. You know, it's we always laugh. You know, all of us in the nonprofits have endless tasks, grant writing and programming and managing and solving. And for some of us, each of us has this little place where you can – do something that sort of raises your spirit and makes you feel good. You've accomplished something and it's fun. It's good. And other people can appreciate it and you share it and it spreads. And I mean, for me, it's cooking.
Ah.
And it used to be paper making, but I don't have time to make paper anymore.
Yeah.
But you need to have something when things are difficult. And for us, the Art Institute allows people to come and participate in that kind of just creative energy. Talking and meeting with other people who make great things out of very little.
Well, and just a quick practical aside, one of the things the Art Institute offers to sort of further that is use to other nonprofit groups of your facilities.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have a beautiful well, we're going to talk a little bit about that.
At the moment, you have a beautiful facility.
Right, yeah. Right now, we still are in an extraordinary facility that has beautiful spaces and a really handsome library. It's the only library of contemporary art that's available to the public for free here in Santa Fe. And people go in and out of the library and read and do research. And it's there's a vibrancy, a connection to the community. But let me just
for those who don't aren't following the big elephant in the room story, Santa Fe Art Institute is located on the College of Santa Fe campus.
Yeah,
which of course is. Isn't the College of Santa Fe campus at the moment, I
although,
guess.
We don't really know what to call it, though the sign has a big sign. They now put a sign. After all these years, they suddenly decided to put a sign on St. Michael's Drive. and it tells you that it's where the Greer Garson studios are, because there's a wonderful film being made in the studios this year, in the soundstage. But the college owns our building, despite the fact that we raised the funds to design and to build it in its entirety, and we've been maintaining it and keeping it just beautiful and open to the public for the last 10 years. When the college had all of its financial difficulties, obviously our building was part of the package that had been mortgaged up to the hilt over and over and over again. And so last night, actually, something wonderful happened. Before Laurie started her concert, I wanted to thank Mayor Koss for his incredible support of the cultural and creative communities here, as well as the city in general. I think he's a fabulous progressive mayor that's done good things for everybody here in Santa Fe. He's opened up those communications and is willing to consider change. And in a good way. And he got up and, to our great surprise, said that there is real movement now between the city and Radian, and it is possible that the city will be able to keep what is the physical city center of the city of Santa Fe, the cultural center, and really begin to develop the College of Santa Fe in a way that it never has before, to become the cultural heart and open to all kinds of organizations and groups that will be able to use that campus.
So he's more optimistic than ever that the city will step up and acquire the property?
I think he's now saying that this is becoming more and more a real possibility, yeah. And I know I'm speaking out of turn. He should be making these announcements, but
– well, we'll consider this unofficial.
Unofficial, thank you, yes. I have nothing to do with the political system.
Oh, no.
So, what we want is if people get how important it is that the Art Institute remain, part of this cultural landscape where it is in this building that is just perfection, it would be great if people just sort of write and say it matters that the arts are the cultural heart of Santa Fe.
And really listening to you, and I do whenever you're on the cafe with Mary Charlotte, of course, but even
or
just,
with Rhea.
Or with Rhea, but just in the last few minutes it is so clear that this is not a narrow enterprise with a too focused outcome. It is really about life. It is really about living well and I mean that in the right way, not a bacchanalian way necessarily. I want to say thanks to both of you for being here today and being part of this odd radio cafe without Mary Charlotte.
Well,
it's good to see you both.
Mary Charlotte's out doing the hard work in Bali.
Oh, yeah. She's learning a new language, and which apparently has no tenses. So I don't quite understand it yet, but I probably won't when she gets back either.
Well, if you actually think about it, the present is very much always here, and there are lots of peoples for whom the past and the future are in the present. So I guess you don't quite need so many tenses for them.
Diane Karp. And I've forgotten your middle name. Michelle LaFlamme.
LaFlamme.
Michelle LaFlamme Child. Some Facebook friend I am. Thank you both very much. It's 8:30 here.
Thanks,
8:30 here in Santa Fe on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. More coming up in just a moment. We take a break right now. And when we are back, we will talk about that college at the bottom of the hill. On the hill.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by BODY, local spa, studio, boutique, organic cafe, events, and kids. Saturday, June 13th, BODY hosts a studio open house. Offered are yoga and niga samplings, including restorative yoga with Laurence Le Breton, vinyasa flow yoga with Emily Brandon, beginner's yoga with Sean Tibor, children's yoga with Nadia Brent, or Nia for Health with Kelly Ray Owen and Hillary Wells. All ages and all experience levels are invited. More information at bodyofsantafe.com.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by the Santa Fe Reporter, providing local news, arts, and entertainment information to more than 50,000 readers each week. The Reporter is available every Wednesday at over 300 locations in Santa Fe and the surrounding area. Pickup locations can be found on their website, sfreporter.com. The Santa Fe Reporter is proud to support KSFR, Santa Fe's only public radio.
KSFR is teaming up with Southwest Roots Music, Native Voice One, and Southwest Stages to bring you highlights from the 10th Annual Thirsty Ear Festival on June 13th and 14th from 7 to 11 p.m. We'll have live performances by Steel Pulse, Mary Gaucher, Bela Fleck, and Tumani Diabate, Indigenous, and others, as well as backstage interviews and performances from past Thirsty Ear festivals. So if you can't make it out to Thirsty Ear, tune in from 7 to 11 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, June 13th and 14th, here on Santa Fe Public Radio 101.1 KSFR.
By the way, Thirsty Ear is one of the high points for us this summer because we are broadcasting highlights, as you've just heard, and we are doing that on a national hookup. Other public stations around the country will be enjoying Thirsty Ear because of KSFR's involvement, and we're pretty darn excited about that. And in fact, a little later in our cafe broadcast this morning, we'll bring a couple of samples of artists from this weekend's lineup. Right now, though, I would like to introduce Anna. And I'm sorry, I promised.
That's all right. You tried. You made a great effort.
I tried earlier, and I screwed it up. But
It's Sahosky.
Sahosky.
That's right.
And Anna is here from St. John's College, Director of Communications, and a wonderful partner with KSFR the last several summers in a family-friendly concert series we like to call Music on the Hill. And we can start with that, but we do want to talk about all that's going on at St. John's. And
summer is our busiest time. Now, generally speaking, colleges have a few months downtime during the months of June, July, and August, but we're the opposite. We're very busy. We have our Music on the Hill concert series, which opens tomorrow, and it goes for 6 Wednesdays in June and July. And then we have a lot of adult education programming, 3 weeks of adult education programming called Summer Classics in July, where people come from all over the country to take intensive seminars about any number of great books. And they take it for a week, and there are dinners, and there are lectures, and there are all sorts of activities associated with their classwork. We also have the Graduate Institute. Their lecture series starts in July as well, and that goes for about a month or 6 weeks. So we're very, very busy.
I guess so. Of the things you just mentioned, are these potentially opportunities for folks from Santa Fe to become involved, or is this something that has such a lead time that it's all set at this point?
We are still taking registrations for Summer Classics. Many of the classes have filled because registration opened in January. So it's best to check our website or to call St. John's and inquire as to the openings that are maybe still available. We do have some openings, though, in our classes for Summer Classics, and it starts the first week of July for 3 weeks.
Tell us a little bit about how it works. The program is how many weeks long?
They're week-long periods. Uh-huh. So it's 3 separate weeks where you take a class per week. You don't have to take it for the full 3 weeks. You may take it for a week. And, for example, we have a class that has not filled yet, studying Galileo.
Uh-huh.
And one of the and we're advertising it actually over here at the Planetarium. And one of the advantages to that class is that there's an evening of night sky viewing.
Nice.
So that's one that's still open.
Well, of course, it wouldn't be nice this past week. Santa Fe has never been cloudier than the last week that I know of.
It's like the Midwest.
Yeah.
We
had some people in town from somewhere else. Doesn't matter where they were from, but they said, I thought this was supposed to be a sunny city. And, come back some other time.
That's right.
So and I hope it'll be nice for Music on the Hill tomorrow.
We hope so as well. They're predicting rain tonight, so we're watching Doppler very closely.
Tomorrow, as I if I remember correctly, Bert Dalton is kicking off the series.
That's correct.
And we have a mix of jazz performers and some others, don't we, this year?
Or? Yes, we do. We have a lot of jazz performers, but we also have Eileen Meyer, who does a lot of indie folk work, and we have Wagogo. They do a lot more eclectic mix, African influences, Caribbean influences, a lot of dance music. They close out the series, and they're very popular. There were 1,500 people last year to see Wagogo.
That is fabulous. And, of course, it's free.
It is free.
And it is it's just a gorgeous setting to be able to sit on the grass and bring your dinner and something to drink or buy it there from Walter Burke Catering, also friends of KSFR, and listen to a whole variety of music. So part of, I think, the magic of Music on the Hill is that it really does appeal to a whole variety of different kinds of people. And just, you know, the times I was out there last year, where it's really become established as opposed to, what's that? There are older folks and there are children running around, but not obtrusively. It just is a real family-friendly mix. And now there is a special edition, I think, if that's come to pass. Yep. That involves kids specifically.
That's correct. Fam Jam we're partnering with for the first time this year. We're very excited about it. They're doing pre-concert shows on two nights, June 10th being one of them tomorrow, and June 24th, where they will do a pre-show from 4:45 to 5:45 for families and their children. Fam Jam works a lot with getting music back into the homes and into families' lives, and so we're excited beyond measure that we're able to partner with them this year.
And, you know, we were talking last segment with our friends from the Art Institute, getting music back into the homes, and again, it's a uniter. It's a unifying kind of thing that really can bring families closer together.
So absolutely. And I think what you said earlier about sort of a lot of generational attendees, we find that as well. One of the goals for next year, we're not going to be able to do it this year, but one of the goals for next year is to really get a handle on some of the demographics of people that attend, because we have older people, we have young families, we have college students, attendees. We have all sorts of people who come out for this event. And because of the economy, we're expecting more this year because the event is free.
Free is good.
Free is good.
Free is better than ever.
Free is very good. So we're very excited about being able to offer this to the Santa Fe community. This is a priority of Mike Peters, one of our presidents, is to build partnerships with community members, businesses, community institutions within the city of Santa Fe. And so we want to bring more and more people up to the Hill to take a look at St. John's.
You know, Mike is one of the most accessible chief executives of a college I've ever met.
He's a
fantastic addition to Santa Fe. The only thing people really need to know a little bit specifically about before they go, guess what I'm going to talk about? Yeah, it's parking. Yeah. There is parking.
There is parking.
You need to know a little something.
That's right. Because of the popularity of this concert series, for the past 3 months, we've been working with the city of Santa Fe, various departments, to try and really hone in on our traffic management and parking alternatives so that it's an easy drive onto the Hill, so to speak. And so the city has asked us to put together no parking on Camino Cruz Blanco, which we are willing to do, but we have a number of parking options. We have over 450 parking spaces both on and off campus that are available to people. And we have volunteers and we have security and we have off-duty police officers who will be able to help manage that that traffic flow. We have parking at Santa Fe Prep, Atalaya, Rio Grande, all our on-campus lots. We have a little bit this tomorrow we have parking at the monastery. We will have students and security, as I said, out on the roads flagging people into these lots so that they know where to go. We ask people to come early. And there is a drop-off point that is near the entrance to the athletic field. where if you have people who are differently abled or you have a lot of gear that you want to bring onto the field, you can have a drop-off point and then unload and then move on to the parking areas. We have handicap parking as well in the Student Activity Center lot. So we are trying to accommodate as many situations and persons as we possibly can. But we do encourage people to come early. Be a little patient this year because it is a new traffic protocol, and we don't quite know how it will flow tomorrow because it is brand new. So we're just asking people to be patient, and we will work out the bugs.
It will be worth it.
And I think it will go smoothly. I think that people are very magnanimous in being able to address the traffic management issues. People understand that this is a popular event, and we just have to work with the city.
Well, this whole idea of Music on the Hill, I think was born before you arrived.
That's correct.
What, 3 years ago now?
4 years ago.
Four years ago.
Yeah,
we were
involved.
And KSFR
was the original sponsor.
And glad to be.
That's right.
And glad to still be involved. But really, at the time, it was about, and I guess it still is, St. John's getting to know the community and the community getting to know St. John's a little better. And mm-hmm. this is a great opportunity to mix and as we say, free is better than ever right now. But it really is nice.
And into the fall and the spring, we have community seminars where a number of our members of the community enroll. It's another seminar-style class. They go over a weekend or they go for a few short days.
What kinds of subjects, Anna?
Last spring or fall, we had Alex de Tocqueville. So we had a whole series about democracy in America. I believe that was in the fall. So it depends on the semester, but we try and pick subjects that would maybe appeal to a broader range of people.
Sounds terrific.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on at St. John's
this summer.
That's
right. That's what's going on. We ask you to come out. Remember, there are no pets allowed on campus. So Music on the Hill is only for people, not for dogs.
Oh, okay.
I know it's disappointing, but I like to just remind that. And we have food available on campus, like you said, with Walter Burke. Fam Jam is tomorrow night and also on June 24th. So if you have children, please bring them for those shows.
It will be fun, I guarantee.
It will be fun.
Been there, seen it, and love it. Anna, thanks so much for being with us this morning to talk about this. Sahosky.
Very good. Excellent.
Oh, well, I wrote it down phonetically.
Most people do.
Thanks a lot. I'll see you Wednesday real soon.
Thank you very
much. Appreciate it. And we'll be back and talk about some new programming at KSFR that has debuted or is debuting soon, some of each, and also a little preview of this weekend at Thirsty Ear with some music from Bella Fleck and a couple of others possibly after this.
KSFR programming is underwritten in part by Flying Star Cafe. Now open in the Rail Yard, Flying Star is a locally owned neighborhood cafe open 7 days a week for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and everything in between. Part bakery, part coffee shop, part diner, and part restaurant, Flying Star serves made-from-scratch food. Handmade breads, pastries, and cakes are baked daily in the heart of the cafe for all to see. Food is made fresh when ordered and can be customized. Sunday through Thursday, 6 to 10, Fridays and Saturdays until midnight.
Southwest Roots Music and the Santa Fe Reporter are proud to present Community Day this Sunday at the 10th Annual Thirsty Ear Festival. Catch sets by Santa Fe's best roots artists, including Felix y Los Gatos, Round Mountain, Soul Man Sam, and Soul Explosion, and others from 1 to 6 p.m. at the Eves Movie Ranch. Community Day also features family and kids activities, including arts and crafts, an African drumming workshop, renewable energy exhibits, and more. Admission is discounted with a donation of 2 cans of food, which will go to local food banks. Great music for a great cause. Community Day at the Thirsty Ear Festival, this Sunday from 1 to 6.
Today's a very special day when all the people are...
So much going on at Thirsty Ear this weekend, and as I mentioned, KSFR will be a part of it. If you can't make it to Thirsty Ear, and we certainly hope you will if you can, and say hello to the folks at the KSFR booth while you're there. But if you can't make it to Thirsty Ear, you'll hear highlights, as we mentioned, both Saturday and Sunday evenings, 7 to 11, here on Santa Fe's only public radio. There are some other things going on here at Santa Fe's only public radio I'd like to tell you about. Some program notes. Last Saturday afternoon, first of all, and I'm going to have her on the cafe next time I am in for Mary Charlotte, who will be back July something. A talented Native American woman from Isleta Pueblo signed on to a brand new program on KSFR. Tara Gatewood's mix of Native narrative, traditional and contemporary Native music, guests from the Pueblos. You need to give it a listen. It is promising to be a great addition to KSFR's weekend lineup. And that is Saturdays every week from 3 to 5 p.m. I mentioned more than once about our coverage of Thirsty Ear. Hope you'll join us for that live from the Eves Movie Ranch in Santa Fe this weekend. Harlan Picasso and Laurel Reynolds are navigating through the 3 days of blues, country, and indigenous live music. You'll hear interviews, on-stage performances by major musical acts all here on KSFR and beamed by satellite. We're pretty excited about being the anchor for this weekend's activities, beamed by satellite to other public stations around the country. So what I'd like to do in the next couple of minutes is give you a little sense of what Thirsty Ear will sound like, and Bella Fleck is ready to provide an introduction to the festivities.
The truth in your smile, I know the truth in your smile, piercing through the gloom of my ignorance. What there is a mama lying down, sleeping, the very ill and the heart crying. Small children have to fend for themselves. No, no, no. Is it right? Woman struggling in this uncertain world. No, 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 no. Is it right? Heaping trouble on an old lady's head. So unlucky, faceless people suffering every day.
I'm not afraid to
Yeah. Bela Fleck from Tales from the Acoustic Planet, Africa Sessions. And Bela Fleck, of course, is one of the performers you will hear at Thirsty Ears Festival this weekend at the Eves Movie Ranch, and you'll hear on KSFR's coverage of Thirsty Ear. It's called Tula Mama. 8:51 here at KSFR on the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. Dale Dierman here for Mary Charlotte this morning. And we are previewing in the last few minutes some of the artists who will be with us this weekend on at the Thirsty Ear. And another that we're quite thrilled to have joining the crowd at Thirsty Ear this year is Indigenous. And this is Eyes of a Child.
Don't you wish that you could see?
No, really, this is the Santa Fe Radio Cafe, not Honey Harris's big show at KBAC. We're playing some music from Thirsty Ear, KSFR, being the station carrying Thirsty Ear coverage this weekend in Santa Fe at the East Movie Ranch. And you'll hear other acts. Richie Havens is going to be on deck this weekend. Steel Pulse, Indigenous, you just heard a moment ago. Keb Mo, that was earlier we played a bit of Fleck. We're going to play another one before we're finished here. Nathan and the Zydeco Cha-Chas, a lot of different, a lot of great names. And I want to shout out to our own local band. Alex Muriel will be on deck. Sharon Gilchrist will be playing in Late Night Jam. It's going to be a lot of fun at the Eves Movie Ranch this weekend. By the way, tickets are available at the Lenzig box office. The usual number, 988-1234. Or, if you prefer to use the net, thirstyearfestival.com. Tickets in Albuquerque, by the way, at Natural Sound and Bookworks. Since, yes, we have Albuquerque listeners, we sure do. Time for one more, and I think let's bring Bela Fleck back here on the cafe this morning.
Tulinei sangala chirabu nakisene, tulinei sangalo kuchaza bageni.
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 Tulinei sangala olwalero, tulinei sangala kuchaza bageni.
Tulinei sangala chirabu nakisene, tulinei sangalo kuchaza bageni.
Sangaira bageni tusangaire ino kubabona.
Sangaire bageni tusangaire ino
Sangaire abageni tusangaire ino kubabona
Sangaire abageni tusangaire ino kubabona
Tuline isangala kirabu nakisene tuline isangala okuchaza abageni
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 Kode yo morusoga
bageni mutya mutya bageni
Kode yo morusoga
bageni mutya mutya bageni
Tusimyo kubabona
bageni mutya mutya bageni
Wisuke ngendo
bageni mutya mutya bageni
Tusimyo kukubona
bageni mutya mutya bageni bageni mutya mutya bageni
Bela Fleck on the Radio Cafe. Mary Charlotte's away, as you probably have guessed. Thanks to everyone keeping the Radio Cafe perking in her absence. Thanks today to Marilyn LeBlanc for her crack engineering and these fine song selections. Bill Hutchison and Robert Knott, by the way, I want to say thanks to them for acting up on Friday mornings in her absence. They've been fun. We've gotten a lot of mail about the two of them. Dot Foil Communications for managing a certain website where you can download podcasts of the show. Want to get there? Start at ksfr.org. That is today's show. Today's show, not the Today Show. I'm Dal Dierman. Thanks to you for making us part of your day, and we'll see you soon on the radio.